Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleisher Show, broadcasting live from the Land of Israel on the Land of Israel Network. And you're with me wherever you are, and you are in the Land of Israel wherever you are when you're putting your mind to connecting with our story here. And today's show is certainly going to be an unusual one. I couldn't hook up with Rabbi Mike this week because Rabbi Mike Foyer, because there was just too much going on in this week of celebrations of Jerusalem's reunification, 50 years, and the conquest and return of Judea and Samaria to the hands of the Jewish people. And for me personally, also, of course, the celebrations of the Hebron Day, which is the day after Jerusalem Day. And it happens to be that today is Hebron Day. Today is Yom Hebron, the day that we celebrate the return of the Jewish people to Hebron, which was wrested in horrific fashion from our hands in 1929 after the 29 massacres in which 67 people were ruthlessly knifed and beaten, raped and destroyed. And then the British that were in charge of Hebron at the time of the Jewish community in Israel evicted us summarily from our town. Tonight we're celebrating 50 years since coming back to our town and rebuilding it. Hebron, where of course the mothers and fathers of the Jewish people are buried, the founding fathers and mothers, the biblical founding fathers and mothers. Now, today's show is unusual because since I couldn't get Rabbi Mike on the, couldn't make a time with him, I forgot to mention that of course Donald Trump was here and hard to navigate the city. So there was all kinds of challenges. Furthermore, last night I really wanted to record with Malka after we came back from the massive flag parade at the Western Wall in Jerusalem and at the Western Wall. I couldn't do it. The reason we came home, we were very late and it was like 12:30 at night. Oh, and then we went to a event for Cherna Moskowitz, who's the famous donor. Her and her husband, Irving Moskowitz, the philanthropists who have really helped rebuild life in Eastern Jerusalem, Hebron, and places like that, the tough places in Israel. And they're wealthy folks from America who already in the early 70s understood the importance of rebuilding life in these places, and they put their whole life on it. It was just so fabulous to see Cherna and a lot of the folks that have made life in Judea and Samaria and Eastern Jerusalem possible. So we got home very late, and then I couldn't record. So then I decided, and today is the most busy day for me. I have a massive, massive concert that I'm not totally in charge of, but I'm one of the people who have really helped create this event, and or at least on the team of great folks that are behind a massive event tonight in Hebron. And the CEO, the Director General of our community, Uri Karzen and Ashi Horowitz are kombatz. That means the guy who's in Hebrew, kombatz means katsin mifzaim. He's the officer in charge of operations officer. Have organized, put together a humongous evening tonight that's going to have tremendous repercussions all over Israel. And we have top musicians. So because of all that, the bottom line is, here's what I'm trying to get to, is that while I'm driving right now to Hebron, and I'm rushing because I have to give some guiding to buses that are coming into Hebron right now from the Mizrahi, World Mizrahi Movement, and get ready for the big show tonight, I decided that the simple way to do the show today is to do it while driving. And I thought maybe we'd have a little bit of fun together while I'm driving as I'm looking at the beautiful terraces of Judea and the new building of Efrat. Efrat, this beautiful town where my brother lives, and it's being built up, just to see the changes happening in the field. You could see that a place where there was just a barren mountain is now a block of a street block with houses and apartments, and you're just like, this is happening in my time. I'm seeing this happen with my fleshly eyes. It's happening right before us, all of us, and we have to understand the power of the miraculousness of our time. I see it right before me, and I'm sharing it with you as I'm driving to Hebron, which is a road that so many people are afraid to travel in. So and us, the people who work in Hebron are trying so hard to make you unafraid to travel. But that leads me right into the big topic of today's show, which is the sweet reality and the bitter reality. You know, I spend a lot of time talking with you about the sweet reality. And I guess the sweet reality is so, so much sweeter than even conceivable to any of us, that God should ingather the Jewish people to this land and do what I was just talking about, which are the bitter things. And then I'm going to go back to the Trump, to the story of Trump also. So yesterday morning, Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, along with 1,000 other people, at least 1,000 if not more, I decided that I will go up to the Temple Mount. And if you go to my Facebook page, you could see my trip to the Temple Mount, because I did it live. And basically what happened was that it was supposed to be open till 11. I got there 10 to 10. And then the security and all the stuff and the fact that we have to go up with these, you know, groups of Jews. Gentiles could just go right up. Just go ahead. Just take a walk. But Jews have got to be monitored by groups of the Islamic Waqf and the Israeli police. And they check your ID and they see if you ever made trouble in the Temple Mount. And it's a whole rigmarole to make sure that you are okay to go up to the Temple Mount. So I got there. But it took more than an hour for us to get up there. And we basically got up there 5 minutes to 11. Now, according to the rules, the Temple Mount closes at 11 on Yom Yerushalayim for Jewish visitors. So we get there 5 to 11. And the minute we get up there, they tell us instead of going the full circle, which is all the way around, you're only going on the very, very partial walk on the Temple Mount. And that means it's a much shorter trip and much less time for us. So people were very, very disappointed. We were waiting for a long time and now we just want to go up and really have our spiritual time. Now you're barred from praying up there, but okay, so you're barred from praying, but you can pray in your heart. You're barred from physically praying, but you're allowed to pray with your heart and, you know, whatever, to kind of speak inside your heart and your mind and in your mouth. Keep it closed, but keep that tongue praying. But suddenly we were kind of told that we would have, and we basically literally had a minute and a half. You could see it on the video. And there were people on the, and they group you in with other people, and they were very bitter at the fact that they weren't allowed to pray normally. Okay. So as we're getting kind of pushed off the mountain, the group stops, and instead of kind of listening to police, they're just kind of hanging out there a little bit, trying to argue with the police, Waqf folks. And then at the same time, turning around and whipping us off of the mountain. And I got chucked at least two, three times, I'm not sure, by police, a kind of brutal amount. Singing HaTikvah is so scary and so dangerous. It's kind of like, it's kind of almost humorous. You people have reacted tremendously to this video. You got to see this video. It's not even, I don't even know why, but people have just been so moved by it. And again, I want you to consider what I was thinking about is Jewish sovereignty 50 years later, after the famous phrase was uttered, Har HaBayit Bayadeinu. It was also Wednesday, 50 years ago when the commanders of the paratroopers said, Temple Mount is in our hands. And yet the state of affairs today is that really it's a Muslim shrine, and we are kind of a foreign entity there. And this ties into something that I kept seeing throughout this 50th year celebrations, and that is the sanctification of the Western Wall as the holy site is a very convenient way for people to forget about the Temple Mount and to make it all very simple. The Holy Sepulchre is the Christian site, the Western Wall is the Jewish site, and the Temple Mount, the Haram al-Sharif, or the Al-Aqsa Mosque, is now the Muslim site. Well, that's very convenient, but it's simply not true. And I bumped into a good friend of mine, a real political politico named Uri Bank, and Uri Bank says, you know, I swore off many years ago not to pray at the Western Wall so that nobody would believe the narrative that we are at our holy spot. So that was my morning of Jerusalem Day. And then at night, as I was after the beautiful concert, after the flag parade, which was a tremendous show of life force of the Jewish people, after all that, Malka and I were driving through some Arab roads because we wanted to bypass the lockdown around the old city because of the parade, the flag parade. And we were in some minor traffic. We were heading to that event that I was telling you about with Cherna Moskowitz, which was run by the Ateret Kohanim Reclamation Organization that are really working on the Muslim Quarter and the Yemenite Village. Just great folks. And we're sitting in minor traffic when suddenly I hear a thump on the trunk or in the back window. And then I hear a thump on the right door. And then a real thud, thump, however you want to understand it, hitting the window where Malka was sitting. Now, my windows are rock proof. They're made out of, you know, a plexiglass type thing. I don't know what it's called. You know, like a plastic, really. And later, under examination, I see it right now as I'm driving, the mark that was left was exactly where Malka's head was. A very sharp and very hard stone was whipped at us. And at that point, given the fact that Malka was with me and we were in a very Arab area and the baby was with me, I basically hit the gas and just busted out of there. There was no way, even though I was armed, am armed, there was no way for me to really deal with that situation in any effective way other than to get out of there. And so also on Jerusalem Day or the tail end of it, we're not fully sovereign. And that's a big problem. That was some of my experiences yesterday on Jerusalem Day. And at the same time, you know, a total joy at being where we are today. And that's exactly the trick. You know, that is the trick that so many people fail to be able to master, which is to be happy with the incredible gift that we are living today. But at the same time, understanding that gift has a long way to go. Sometimes I even understand that the two stories that I told you is also being a gift, in that we still have a lot what to do. We're not done. We have to fight so much. We have to act so much. But that's a gift because that means we're still in the game. Those people that think that Messiah will do everything for them, they just knock themselves out of the game. The game is to be part of the messianic process. The game is to be part of God's dream. The game is to be part of building a Jewish state and defending it and fighting back. The game is to even fight the harsh and negative philosophies that are so prevalent today. The fears and the rotten ideas, and there's a great privilege in being able to act. I personally find it to be an incredible privilege. Like yesterday, as I sat at dinner with Cherna Moskowitz and all these other great activists, I felt a tremendous privilege. I said, "Wow, Yishai Fleischer, you get to be at a table with these people? That's incredible. It's just so incredible that they're doing what? Rebuilding Jerusalem? What an honor and a privilege, really. What a tremendous gift." But at the same time, don't put on rose-colored glasses. We've got a lot that we have to do to still win. And don't think that the game is over. So that's my experiences on Jerusalem Day. All right, now let's go to a second issue, and that is the Trump visit. Before I actually get to that, I just want to say now I am approaching the outskirts of Kiryat Arba Chevron. Lots of beautiful, huge Arab houses here, including a mansion that I see here. Lots of beautiful grape plants. Of course, the land of Judea is famous for its grape plants. And pretty soon, pretty quickly, I'll be in Chevron with the help of God. And this fabulous and beautiful road, so many people are scared to go on this road, is the road to Mom and Dad. And we should never be scared of coming to Mom and Dad. I suddenly feel like I'm choking up a little bit because I'm so, you know, emotional at the fact that today's Yom Chevron, and I so want us to honor the Bible honor our parents, honor God's beloved. And I think that's today. In any case, I want to talk about the Trump visit. Great to see the President of the United States land in Israel. Cute pomp and circumstance stuff. It was nice to see this red, orange, you know, character who very well may be, some people say that he's a reincarnation of Esav himself and has come to kind of fix the sins of Esau and to love Israel, this super red, orange person, you know, just like Esau was, Esav. Could be. All that stuff is speculation, of course. But I want to talk about not so much Donald Trump. I want to talk a little bit about how Israel treated Donald Trump. There was a few things that really stood out in my mind. When Donald Trump was in Saudi Arabia, he took part in a sword dance. And everybody remembers that sword dance because it was so almost fun and outlandish and also a show of strength. You know, the sword dance, like I'm dancing with the swords. But in Israel, let's compare the sword dance to what we did in Israel, which is what? Come to the Western Wall. Nay, the Wailing Wall. Come to the Wailing Wall. Why don't you wail with us? Here is the remnant of our temple that was destroyed 2,000 years ago. Okay, are you done with that? Great, that's very solemn. Come to our next solemn moment at Yad Vashem. Remember the Holocaust. And it's like, dudes, he just came from a sword dance. And he got a big, like, golden medal. Can we not do something that's awesome, powerful, and not ninny, sissy, sad, the oppressed hurt Jew and all that kind of stuff? Show some strength. Show some strength. What do I mean by that? I mean, imagine if they put Donald Trump in a Merkava tank, one of our Israeli tanks, and said, President Trump, do you see through the scope one of the ISIS vehicles with the rocket launchers in the back? Yes, I do. Fire away, sir. Boom! You hit it. President Trump, you just destroyed ISIS through a Merkava 4 tank. You are now an honorary IDF soldier. Like, show some strength. They didn't even go for the Israeli high tech. Like, show them the awesomeness of the power of Israel. Not just the ninniness, the sadness, the you know, show them our sword dance. And in the same vein, there was a repeated ad nauseum, the recurring mantra of peace. Ladies and gentlemen, stop talking about peace. You don't get peace through talking about peace. You get peace through talking about strength. All we have to do is talk about Israeli strength. Just talk about Jewish and what else did we show them? Yad Vashem, you know, the symbol of our, you know, almost destruction. Yes, we survived it, and it's miraculous, and it's beautiful. But still, though, you know, I want to show Israeli strength. I want to show Israeli pride. Talk about these things and stop talking about peace vis-a-vis the very people that talk in the same day to take away your land. The very same day that we were talking peace, Abbas was talking about the 67 borders, and then at the very same day, he inaugurated two new streets, squares, in honor and naming of terrorists who killed Jews. So do me a favor, people, don't talk peace with your enemies at this time. Okay, the whole world thinks we're occupying. Talk about the strength and truth of our land. You strengthen our narrative, not just the poverty, poor, broken Jew narrative, the strong and proud and knows what's right narrative, the Jew that is going to hold on to his land, her land, and know that it's ours and going to push back on the bad guys for the first time in 2,000 years, armed and proud and religious. You know, take them to a yeshiva. Show them that we're studying the same Torah that we've studied for the last 2,000 years. Take them to the high-tech places. Show them the stuff that we develop. Show them the weapons that we develop. Yes, I, unlike some of my colleagues, am proud of the weapons that we develop. Okay, I'm proud of that. And I hope that they're used against bad guys. And I think we should be proud of our abilities to do that. And it's healthy for the world to see it. But instead, Israel showed itself, I don't know, you know, in this, it's like a, let's call the whole thing like a Western Wall narrative, the whole thing. Western Wall, peace, broken Jew narrative. In the meantime, he's dancing with swords in Saudi Arabia and signing $110 billion deal. Did we sign any deal with him on this trip? That, you know what I'm saying? Make it more robust and not ninny-ish and not sissy-ish, not weenie-ish. And that is something that I wanted to see during the 50th. And when it came to Jerusalem embassy, we should have had a demand on these things. Not a request and a this and that and a hint. The people of Israel should have said, we demand, President Trump, that you recognize Jerusalem in accordance with the law of the United States of America. But not, we didn't hear that either. So what can I tell you? I lament. I'm sorry, you know. I lament. That's, it's bitter in my mouth, this way that we're behaving. It's not, I didn't see my Israel shine and show itself off to what it's supposed to be. And that was, what can I tell you? It was embarrassing for me. I was embarrassed by it. Or I was just, as I was talking to you, getting upset, I was swerving into another lane. So a Jeep behind me beat me, security Jeep. Anyway, folks, guess what? I'm going to stop being upset. I'm going to be excited because the strength that I'm talking about is here. It is real, the strength. It's not something that we have to dream up and conjure. It's so, so here. I wish that Donald Trump would have seen the flag parade. We should have made the flag parade a few days earlier so that he could see what is a flag parade of tens of thousands of young people. That would have been awesome. That would have been awesome. Okay? I just want Israel to be awesome. I think all of us want that. I think we've lost sometimes sight about how to sell it as awesome. And instead we sell it as like ninny. And I lament that very much. And I say again now to you, it's not that we have to put on airs or a show. It's here. And tonight, as Jewish people converge on the tombs of their fathers and mothers in Hebron. Oh, by the way, how about bringing him to Hebron and showing Trump that we still honor our mothers and fathers who are buried here in a site unlike any other. Any case, ladies and gentlemen, those are some of my thoughts on this Jerusalem day. And, you know, I'm sorry that if they're not totally, you know, just jovial, you know, there is a demand. We're living in a time that God is actually demanding of us to take the next step. And I want to make a prayer right now, which is the way I like to think about these things, is I want to say, God, please help us. Help us, God, be those people that we're supposed to be. Help bring us the right spirit into our hearts. Help us know that you're the one God, that your truth is roaring like a lion and not meowing like a cat. And that's something that I very much am praying for, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really praying for that. And I'm praying for myself to be able to be that person. I want to pray for you. Let's be those people, folks. Let's take those steps in this life. Roar like a lion. And what is your next step? Ask yourself, what is your next step of connectivity to Israel? And of course, that step is booking that trip, buying that property, drinking that wine, saying to your friend, your colleague at work that thinks that Israel's an occupier, hey, buddy, you couldn't be wronger. You know, and there's other steps that you could take. Obviously, there's organizations you could help. As I told you a few shows ago, the one organization I help is the Tomb of Joseph, who, by the way, Mike Huckabee visited and spoke about in a very moving fashion. At one of the events that I was at, the Mizrahi event. So I support the Tomb of Joseph because I'm not there. Okay, what are you supporting? Are you supporting Hebron? Are you supporting Jerusalem, the Land of Israel Network, the Yishai Fleischer Show? You got to help support that one way or another. In any case, my friends, that's my plea to you. Let's roar like a lion out there. God doesn't want us to be timid. He wants us to be accelerated, to be forward-thinking, and to be roaring out there, roaring towards victory and towards really honoring God's name. All right, folks, I'm in Hebron. Last few turns here. Last few turns inside this important city. the city that I want to call beautiful, but its heart is beautiful. Its roots are beautiful. Its visuals, its optics are not yet beautiful. They're going to be beautified. However, just one more turn, and I'm right in front of the Machpelah, where Abraham buries Sarah, where Adam and Eve are buried, where Israel is buried, Jacob is buried, and the rest of the biblical family. Here it is right in front of me now. This is where I got married myself. IshaiTheLandOfIsrael.com. God bless you wherever you are. Stay tuned. Stay connected. Be proud. Roar like a lion out there. Support and love. And with that, I bid you adieu. But may the Lord of Israel, may the God of Israel, help us protect these soldiers that I see. And let's always stay together. Hold hands across the Atlantic. And last final word, chazak. That's the word I'm looking for. Chazak. Hashtag chazak. Tattoo it emotionally on your hearts. We got to be chazak. Instead of those numbers that were tattooed on our arms, we have to tattoo a new number, which is chazak. Torah says don't tattoo, so don't do it in a tattoo fashion, but do it in your heart. Chazak. God bless you, folks. More great stuff is on the way. Stay tuned.